A little one. When learning how to motivate, to walk for the first time, looks terribly awkward, doesn't he or she? I mean, those of you who have witnessed, and probably most of you have, a child is seeking its way and putting so much energy into the whole process because she has never done this before. I mean, just think of all the processes that have to be in gear up here and down here as a child first walks. I mean, to make these muscles move in this way and to keep upright. And it takes a lot, doesn't it? It's an amazing thing to witness. I'm sort of reminded of this lately with my knee injury. Again, another illustration from my knee injury. But you know, whenever we rest muscles, which I had to do with this particular leg, for a couple months it had to be rested. And my muscles forgot how to move. I mean, you think, you know, how can a muscle forget how to move? But it does. An amazing thing. You learn other ways of motivating, however. You know, your leg, your injured leg, depends upon the other muscles, and the other muscles learn how to move in its place, right? But then when the cast or whatever gets taken off, those muscles have to relearn. There is not a memory built into them. They have to relearn how to move. I mean, I now through therapy and stuff like this, I'm able to walk and stuff like this, but it's still, as I'm walking, I took my walk this morning, and there are times when I'm just telling myself, okay, just walk normal. Just walk normal. Have to do that. It's sort of like, you know, when you're learning how to drive, those of you who have recently learned how to drive or will, you spend a lot of energy. You know, you grip the wheel at what, 10 and 2, right? 10 and 2, and your arms get tired because you are just so concentrating so much and you're paying attention to everything. Now, gradually, your muscles, and your mind is a muscle too, right? Your muscles kind of develop a memory for all of this stuff, so that as the more that you walk, the more that you drive, the more you don't have to consciously be thinking about this. Which is why, by the way, the law says that it is until a certain age, you know, after you have learned, you know, gotten your driver's license, you are not allowed to drive with a bunch of other teenagers, because you still, up to a certain point, until it becomes ingrained into your being, you are still having to pay attention. It takes time to learn. It takes time to learn. And to add to that statement, it takes time to relearn. Because, what is the saying? If you don't use it, you lose it. That is true. We can forget. We can forget. And we need to remember. Okay, I throw that in because today is World Communion Sunday. Christians around the world are paying attention to this whole remembrance thing. Remembering is important for learning and relearning. Because if we don't use it, we lose it. And here I am talking about the things that Jesus showed us and told us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, begins with some fairly difficult statements. Some should statements, some ought to some statements, some must statements. Particularly geared to the disciples who not too long from this point would shift from being simply learners to being leaders. Jesus spoke, first of all, about those who are still learning this thing called faith. And faith is not so much a cerebral thing, you know, of listing out, I believe this and this and this and this and this. Faith is using those muscles and moving with God. The first thing Jesus says in relation to that is noting, and whenever Jesus talks about little ones, he's not just talking about toddlers. He's not just talking about babies or children. He is talking about those who are faith-wise toddlers, still learning. And first of all, he says, when a person is still learning this thing, be careful. Don't trip them up. Okay? Makes sense, doesn't it? I've been very aware of things that can trip you up lately. But there are ways in which we can trip other people up. And we need to be careful of that. Be mindful of that. And then there's this whole thing that Jesus gets into about when another trips up. That is, kind of stumbles into sin. You know, the encouragement isn't to, at that point, say, oh, look at that person. They've stumbled. They've tripped. They've fallen. Shame on them. But to reach out and help them back up. Makes sense, doesn't it? And that, furthermore, when a person has tripped and fallen and gotten up and said, forgive me, we are to what? Forgive them. How many times? Seven times? 70 times? 70 times? Seven times? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. But you know, all of that is not easy. I mean, it's simple for me to say that. It's simple for me to talk about, you know, walking and... But the doing part is hard. Because living with other people, this thing we call community, you know, that word fellowship doesn't just belong as a name for a hall that's on the other side of that wall. Community, fellowship. It's hard. It really is. Because, you know, we're not dealing when we come together as church with people who see eye to eye with us all the time. If anything, community involves living together with people with whom we disagree. People that we may not like. People we might not normally gravitate toward. Yet God draws us together. Community is difficult work. This living together with Jesus. And I think the disciples, when they heard what Jesus had to say about, you know, about not getting in somebody's way, not tripping somebody else up and thinking, oh gosh, I could do that so easily and not even know it. And when it comes to kind of drawing somebody back up off the ground, well, that's hard, especially when their falling has been all over me. When they have sinned against me, they've said things that hurt. It's hard. It's hard work. And the disciples recognized, as they were saying it, that this is faith work. And so what was their response? Did you hear it? How did they respond? Increase our faith. Increase our faith. And Jesus said, okay. He didn't castigate them for not having enough faith. He didn't say, oh, you faithless bunch of nuts. He said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, about little. And I think if microbiology had been around back then, he probably would have said, if you had faith the size of a little strand of DNA, that's all it would take. In other words, you have it in you. You have it in you. Yeah, our muscles have to learn how to operate. We have to teach these muscles how to walk. But built into them is the ability to learn. It's already there. It is already there. The same is true when it comes to faith. It's there. If you had just a mustard seed, which you do, which is the whole point, you do have faith the size of a strand of DNA. You do have faith the size of a mustard seed. And that's enough. That is enough. You have all you need. That's what Jesus was saying. You have all you need. Of course, then he had to go into one of those parables. I mean, that was the crazy thing. Those parables that, you know, they make sense and they don't make sense. And then you have to think about them. You kind of got to walk through them. You got to kind of use your muscles and, okay, what is he getting at here? And he told, you know, the story which people back then would have gotten. In the sense of, you know, what person would say to their slave, and do any of you have slaves now? I don't have any. I don't even have any servants. And, you know, I can't claim my kid as one, so. But which of you having a slave who's supposed to be out in the field working on what you have bought them or had them to do, when coming into the house, and everybody listening would be thinking in terms of masters and slaves at this point, and this would all be making sense to them, you know, to say that you wouldn't say, oh, come in and sit down and I'll feed you supper. No. You're a master, you've got a slave, the slave works out in the field, and then the slave is supposed to come in and do what? Cook supper. Duh, yeah, that's what a slave does. You know, and you wouldn't have to say, after all of that, because that's what a slave does, you wouldn't have to say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Because that's a slave. That's what a slave does. And persons hearing probably would say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Perfect sense. And then Jesus did what he always does. He flips it. And says, well, guess what? You're the slaves. Oh, what? And he wasn't trying to get across that this is how God treats us. That God, you know, says, okay, you are my slaves. Go out into the field and do what you're supposed to do. And, you know, you are my slaves. Come in and feed me supper. No, because this is the God who provides. This is the God who gives. This is the God who loved the world so much that, as John says, gave his only begotten Son. This is a giving God, a providing God. This is not a difficult taskmaster. like Pharaoh was or some others. But the point is, what he was getting across was that we are all servants. We are all servants of God. And when it comes to doing the things that we are called to do, we are not to focus upon, well, am I going to get thanked for this? Because a slave is not thanked. I mean, thanksgiving is like icing on the cake. It's not an expectation. Thanksgiving is important, yes, but a servant should not necessarily expect to receive thanks. Now, that's a hard thing. This is a hard saying, folks. It's very hard. We don't do what we have been called to do in order to receive thanks. Because ultimately, if we do things that way, that's not a good enough motivation. Because it comes back to bite us. By the same token, being a servant is a long-term job. It's something we do our entire life. You know, sometimes when it comes to community stuff, we think, well, I'll do what I need to do up through a certain point, and then it's somebody else's job. We certainly think that in relation to church stuff. Oh, I put in my time, and now it's for somebody else to do. Ouch. That's not the way it's supposed to be, though. Because community work is a lifelong process. It's something we do. There is never a point from which we graduate from our responsibilities as disciples. It's something we do our entire life. Now, at certain stages in our lives, we have to relearn how to do some things. I mean, if we have done things as a youth, there is some relearning that comes with jumping into things as an adult. Well, how is it different now? I got to learn how to walk. And then certain stages of life, what does it mean to be a parent as opposed to a grandparent? A grandparent still has responsibility, does not she or he? Still involvement. But you got to kind of learn your way through it. The same is true with everything else in community life. There is never a point at which we are not a servant. And whether we are out in the field or in the house, there's a constancy to it all. We need to be constant in our servanthood. Constant. That's the hard part. That is the really hard part. That's the part that takes, as we think about it, that mustard seed of faith. But, you know, the good news is it's already there in you. You can do it. It's there. The ability to be constant. And the good news behind all of that is that, how did we begin worship? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is our constant. This morning, when I took my walk, and it was early enough that the sun was just kind of coming up, and as I walked down, it was right into the face of the sun. You know, and I was walking down Long Green Road and thinking about what I was going to say this morning. And then at a certain point, I turned and walked in the opposite direction. And as I did so, the color that was revealed before me, which had before been kind of hidden because I was walking into the sun. I mean, yes, it was beautiful, you know, the kind of the clouds there and the red and stuff like this, but as the sun was coming up, it was pretty glaring. But when I turned, that sun was shining on the trees and everything right in front of me, and it was going, oh, whoa. The truth is, as we seek to keep walking, you know, we got to relearn how to walk sometimes. And I'm telling myself as I'm walking, you know, just walk normal, just walk normal. So we're seeking consistency, to be constant. You know what's behind us? Shining on our path ahead. The constancy of God is nudging us forward. God is consistent, constant, there.